Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day. Good to be here tonight. Can I hear you say amen? And as usual, I got so many things on my mind. Somebody sent me a prayer request, and I copied and pasted it onto a text document. Ready to be printed out. Yeah, it's ready to be printed out. So, God knows who it was. Amen? God knows who it was. And just pray, God, whoever that was, Lord, would you help him and bless him. It is good to be here tonight. In all seriousness, I think we ought to pray for our country. We are a week away from our destiny in this country. And I'm not a prognosticator. I'm a lousy weatherman. But there's... the pot is boiling in this country. Do you see that? Okay? And so just pray for our country. One of the flames that's under that pot is something going on in the military. That's when it gets scary. Because apparently there was a rescue mission initiated to go and save the ambassador in Libya at September 11th. And a rescue mission was initiated, and apparently somebody in the Obama White House called it off. And actually one of the admirals who initiated the rescue mission, Obama fired, had him step down from his position. And that doesn't make people happy. Okay? I don't know the truth. I don't know what's right or wrong here. I just know that there's a lot of turmoil in our country. Amen? God speaks through the whirlwind. The whirlwind has passed through our country more than once. God's trying to wake this nation up. When will we wake up? Can I hear you say amen? So pray for your country tonight. Pray for one another. And we're going to go to the Lord in word of prayer, but I want you to take your Bibles first. Turn to Revelation, if you would, the book of Revelation. And this is a revealing thing tonight. God's going to reveal things to us. He's going to show us things that we need to know. Revelation chapter 17, and then I want us to go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Pray for one another, and just lift one another up tonight, all right? Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house, and we thank you, dear God, for Jesus Christ. We thank you for victory in Jesus, victory in his blood, and his death and sacrifice on the cross. And I thank you, dear God, for Calvary, the fact that it's the finished work, it's done. And Lord, we see so much false religion, Lord, around us that tells us we have to do, we have to do, we have to do. And Father, I thank you, dear God. Lord, I love serving you. I love being your servant. I love being a free servant. And Lord, I'll do anything you ask me to do. But Lord, I'm thank you for what was necessary for my salvation you've already done. Lord, bless and honor your word tonight. Lord, I want tonight to be an encouragement to people. Lord, I want to help people, Lord, with things that, Lord, in my past I've struggled with. And I thank you, dear God, for not letting me go too far. And so, Lord, if there's someone here tonight, be it young or old, Lord, if there's someone watching tonight, again, young or old, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would fill their soul with your goodness. You'd teach them great and mighty things that they know not, Lord, that you'd help them. Bless tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Revelation chapter 17, we get wisdom from looking at what the Bible's trying to tell us. The Bible says, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. You know, the Bible uses this language, and it means exactly what it says. Okay, it's not the prettiest language in the world, but it means exactly what it says here. So in verse 2, the Bible says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now I want you to kind of get the imagery here that God's drawing for you in your mind. A woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. And full of names of blasphemy, and he has 7 heads, and he has 10 horns. So I want you to pay attention tonight to this woman, this beast, and the horns that it has. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written. Now, there's two things I want you to do in this verse. I want you to look at the name, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Then I want you to notice that these are capitalized in all capital letters in your King James Bible. When somebody does that in a text message or an email, what are they trying to get across to you? Listen to me! Okay? It's almost like shouting or whatever. I don't know that it's doing this, but it is. It's interesting that when your hands turn this page and you fall upon Revelation 17, that jumps out at you. And I believe there's a reason why. Count the number here. Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. 13 words here in this title. That number we're going to see in just a little bit tonight. It's interesting how the Bible and how things of this world match up. And what I'm going to do tonight is just kind of, I've kind of told my testimony before, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with me tonight because I'm boring. But I had a lure as a young person into magic, the occult, witchcraft, wizardry, things of that nature. It was a draw to me, and I understand the draw nowadays. In fact, nowadays, there is so much of it for young boys and young girls to get involved in. I don't see how they stay away from it if they do, because there is so much out there. Most of the toys made for boys and girls have some sort of, they deal with some sort of magic idea. Most of the books I went to, you just go to any of these bookstores. I can't think of any, but you just go to the mall and go to the big bookstore, the big chain bookstores. Go to the youth section, go to the preteen section, go to the adolescent section. And especially with the girls, two types of books overwhelm the teenage girl section of the bookstore. Ones that deal with romance, ones that deal, and I'm using the word romance as a soft version of what they pretty much deal with. And the other is wizardry or witchcraft or magic of some kind. That's primarily what you're going to find. When you ladies were girls, what books did you have to read? Okay? Nancy Drew, Little House on the Prairie, Little Women, things like that. This stuff, they're not going to touch this stuff anymore. They have other things that are being promoted to them, and I'll show you examples up on the screen here in a little bit. But these young people are just flooded with this idea of magic and witchcraft and being lured into the occult. And I don't always do this time of year, but I like to, because it's on everybody's mind. And I want to say to everybody, especially young people, I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you foregoing what is normally done on October 31st and being willing to come to church. I really appreciate that. And by the way, I don't just like to take things away from people. Neither does God. But what he always gives something back far better than what he took away. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. And there is going to be some people who's going to have a big problem with this tonight. We did not do anything of an occult nature. We did not have vampires, witches, dragons, anything like that around here. But we invited everybody here at 6 o'clock, and we fed them pizza and lots of other good food. And we gave out a ton of candy tonight. Woo! Okay. Why did I do that? because you decided and your parents decided to just come to the house of God tonight and feed off the Word of God. And I don't mind rewarding something like that. I really don't. I don't mind. If you're going to take something away, give them something better. Amen. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He asked God to take it away. God wouldn't do it. He just gave him something better, and that was called grace. And so I appreciate you coming tonight, and I know I'm going to get an email tomorrow or tonight from somebody that doesn't really appreciate what I did. But anyway, we're going to talk about witchcraft and the occult. Halloween predominantly deals with that subject matter. It deals with young ladies dressed up as witches, boys dressed, they all like to dress up as Harry Potter, but Harry Potter was so 2 years ago. Okay? Right? And so now there's other things to capture their attention. But I wanted to introduce the characters behind witchcraft in the occult. The character number one is Mystery Babylon. Character number two is this beast with horns. And you're going to see how important this plays here in just a moment. Let me get this turned on here and operating. And we're going to go to the scriptures here. Nahum chapter 3 verse 4. Just follow along. And what you might want to do, especially some of the young people, you might want to write some of these passages down. Because somebody's going to ask you, what'd you do at Halloween? Well, we didn't do, what everybody else did. Well, how come? Well, the Bible says this, and you share with them the scriptures. And I think that's important. And I know to young people, the Bible is a big book. It has a lot of stuff in it. Finding out where all of this stuff is that we're teaching you sometimes can be a little hard. So what I'm going to just make a note here. The Bible says it's wrong to be a witch, and here's where it says it at. So just kind of write some of these things down, just the references, and you can have them there. Nahum chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot. Now, we just looked in Revelation 17 concerning a harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. And I want you to notice that God is telling through Nahum this idea that Mystery Babylon, she has two natures about her. Number one, her she has a whorish nature about her. She's very lascivious. She's got a dirty mouth. She is she dresses immoral. She is probably, lots of words could come to mind of girls or women that we know. That's who she is. But I also want you to notice the connection between witchcraft and whoredom. In fact, witchcraft technically is spiritual whoredom. You are not being faithful to God when you get into areas of the occult and areas of witchcraft. And the things that we can get into can be so subtle. And we might think, well, this is not really hurting anything. But it is, and that's how the dragon, that's how the devil works. He works through subtlety. Lure you in with a little bit here, and then it turns into something that you can no longer control. So notice the connection between harlotry and witchcraft. She's the mistress of witchcraft, and she sells nations through whoredoms. And notice what she does to families. Families. Through witchcraft. I cannot begin to tell you the depth at which families in America have been infiltrated with witchcraft and the occult. Even in church families in today's world, predominantly because most pastors won't take the time to teach it, won't take the time to look at it, won't take the time to come against it. In fact, in the day we live in, Bradley, most pastors are Harry Potter fans, Lord of the Rings fans, Batman fans, Star Wars fans, every occult thing that there is out there, pastors are going, they're fans of this stuff. They're giving sermons based upon Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and, oh, this is a good character. So they're not standing against it. And so in families, in church families, families are being sold out through witchcraft. I want you to pay attention to that. Families involving young people. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. In Galatians, we have two contrasting ideas. Later on in the book of Galatians, we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. Before that, we have something that contrasts against that. It is the works of the flesh. Notice what the works of the flesh are. There's 18 of these. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Well, already we're dealing with Mystery Babylon because she's a whore, and these first four things deal with her. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Then we get into idolatry, which is worshiping another god, and witchcraft, followed by hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike. Now, here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand is Christians, Christian parents, Christian young people, Christian youth leaders, Christian pastors, Christian colleges, Christian literature endorsing something that is specifically categorized in the Bible as a work of the flesh and an abomination before God. Endorsing it, saying, well, it's just fantasy. It's just, you know, imaginary stuff. We're not really practicing worship. They assume, or they want you to think, that if you read Harry Potter, you will not be educated and indoctrinated on witchcraft and the methods of wizardry. Let me tell you something. The lady that wrote the Harry Potter series, what little bit I've seen of it, she knew exactly what she was. Either she is a practicing witch, which I highly suspect, or she has consulted with witches and wizards and learned everything that she could concerning their craft and incorporated it into those books. I had a pastor friend of mine, a youth pastor friend of mine. He's now died and gone on to be with the Lord. He told me, he said, I had a missionary, a Free Will Baptist missionary, tell him that he didn't see anything wrong with reading Harry Potter. And he said, well, okay, I'll go read it. So this youth pastor, and he's a few years older than me, went and he said, Mike, I went to the library, got the first Harry Potter book out, took it home, read it, closed the book, and he said, I wanted to be a wizard. We're talking about a grown man wanting to be the wizard. And teachers all over the country and parents in support of this thing saying, well, we're getting children to read. Big whoop. What are they reading? What are they learning? And it's almost like, oh no, you can't be a Christian in school. Here's some books on wizardry and witchcraft and sorcery. We don't mind that. That's okay. I highly suspect that there are a lot of school teachers that are practicing witches. How about an amen for that one? So it's actually mentioned, witchcraft, actually mentioned as being one of the works of the flesh. And he said, and of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So I will tell you, and again, I come to you as a friend tonight because I know what it's like to be drawn in. I know what it's like. It's alluring. Still to this day, it's alluring. It wants to draw you in. You try to tell yourself, it's not going to hurt me. But then it gets us to covet after things that God does not want us coveting after. You know, since he mentioned adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, I mean, I know that I you know, you're not supposed to read dirty magazines, but would it be okay to get the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition? No. That's just a light version of worse things. And so the books we read, the comic books we look at, the cartoons we watch, the movies we entertain our mind with, the things that we're being indoctrinated in. I'll tell you, I had this idea that I think most church people know more about social media and they know more about movies and TV shows and games, video games, than they do about their Bible. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay? And so at some point, you've got to ask yourself, where am I going? What's going to be the end result of my life? If I follow this course, I cannot go to heaven. If I follow this course, I cannot go to heaven. Exodus chapter 22, verse 18. Notice the language that's in the scriptures. I didn't write this. God did. Thou shalt not suffer. The word suffer means allow. Thou shalt not allow, suffer a witch to live. God was serious. I mean, this was the law that he was giving from Mount Sinai. God said this from Mount Sinai to Moses. And he said, Moses, write these things down. When you go down from the mountainside and you give my law to these people, you tell them that if they find a witch in the midst of my people, you're not to allow them to live. Because God knew the dangerous side of it. He knew the danger of it. And by the way, I want to share with you tonight. God knew the danger of witchcraft, but he also knew the benefit of serving and following him. Yeah. See, witchcraft is all about, it's about several things. Number one, it's about power. Well, I can tell you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When you are born again, Bible-believing Christian, and you believe that book, you've got more power in that book than witches have. In fact, witches' curses don't work against someone who's born again. They can't curse you. So who's got the most power? Somebody say amen. Okay? Or it's about, well, I can get things with witches, because that's how they promote it. That's how they promote it, especially to covetous young people. You can get things. You can get grades at school. You can get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. There's a book Lisa and I saw at a bookstore. It was right there at the counter. It was all pink and had flowers and nice little pictures on it. And it was a little girl's guide to spells. For 9, 10, 11-year-old girls in this book, there's a book teaching them, number one, how to have how to find the animal that is going to accompany you. Okay? That's like a familiar spirit. And then it's teaching them, 9, 10, 11 year old girls, how to cast a love spell on a boy that you want to pay attention to you. And I'm telling you, if you want things, there's no better place to ask than God, who owns everything. He owns everything. So number one, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And then look at verse 19. This is odd. It looks like it's odd that verse 19 is right next to verse 18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And then it says right after that, whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. And then he that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. So thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And then whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Why is it that those two laws are put side by side together? Is there a connection? And if you know anything about the practice of Wicca or paganism, there's different terms for it. Paganism, Wicca, witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery. There's probably other subcultures of that. But it's basically all the same idea. The Force. In Star Wars, do you know what that is? George Lucas, he just inked the deal. He sold the rights to the Star Wars Empire and Lucasfilms and so on to Walt Disney. Walt Disney's been promoting magic and witchcraft for years. Just sold the rights to the Star Wars Empire for like, I don't know, $6 billion, something like that. So he's not looking for another job after this, okay? But anyway, the Force that's in Star Wars is basically similar to the Force that witches claim that they use. They use the elements, earth, wind, fire, and water, the four cardinal directions, the four things and so on, which are in the Bible actually. And they use that Force to do things or to summon things or to make people think certain things or so on. Well, that's what the power of a Jedi in Star Wars is. The power that a Jedi Knight has is that he is able to use the elements around him to make people think things or to make people do things or to fight battles or to summon things or whatever. And so Star Wars basically is a sci-fi version of witchcraft and wizardry. And I'll be honest with you. I was one of those when Star Wars came out and was held over for like 8 billion weeks. You remember that back in the 70s? I went to see it. I'm going, this is so cool. Okay? But it's essentially elemental witchcraft is what it is. And so anyone who is familiar with Wicca, paganism, witchcraft, and so on, understand that witchcraft is about what they refer to as opposites. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of details. I've taught a lot on this. But essentially, it is the idea of the witch being a goddess. And
And the God that they pray to, or the God that they believe in, or the God that they yearn for is named or referred to as, listen to this now, the horned God. The horned God. That is the beast with the 10 horns. That's who that is. So the God of witchcraft is who? The Antichrist, the beast. And in pure Wiccan rituals, they have a practice called the blade and the chalice, or the wand and the chalice. Remember, Babylon holds a cup in her hand. Okay? That cup represents something. And in Wicca or witchcraft or paganism, the wand or the blade and the cup go together in a ritual. If you're adult, you understand what that's all about. And in many witchcraft covens, they don't like to advertise this. They don't promote this. You'll never see it in some of their writings. But in covens, pagan covens and so on, they practice ritualistic fornication. Because I'm telling you, adultery, whoredoms, and witchcraft always go together. Always go together. Can I hear an amen out of somebody? The forbidden of Scripture. So anyway, that's what's... And by the way, just... I don't know. The horn god, that's the devil, that's the Antichrist, all right? So anyway, now in Deuteronomy chapter 18. You might want to write this one down, okay? This you'll probably be tested on in life somehow, some way. Because there are things that as Christians we just don't do. We don't practice them. We don't try to educate ourselves about them. We don't fantasize about them. And these are the things that God said, don't do. He said, number one, there should not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Number two, that useth divination. Divination is a term whereby you use, people have various practices, tea leaves in the bottom of a teacup. When you can read the leaves, you understand how things are going to go. Palm reading, palmistry is a part of divination. Cartomancy, which is tarot cards or a similar card. I can tell you that a lot of American children practice cartomancy. They play games like card captors and other like card games where a card has a magical identity to it, or it has a power to it. And if you have this certain card, then you supposedly in the game have this particular power. You can say it's just a game. But yet we are feeding and indoctrinating and educating young minds, not with valuable principles of the Scripture. We're indoctrinating them with magical practices that God said, don't do them. He said in Jeremiah 10, he said, learn not the way of the heathen. That's what he said. He said, don't learn their ways. Don't teach it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 clearly tells us as parents that we're to take the words that God gave us and we're to teach them diligently unto our children. And yet, we put them in front of a television set. We give them card games to play. We give them comic books. We give them occult-based video games where they practice magic, role-playing games. We give them Harry Potter. We give them occult material and tell them, it's okay to read that. Just leave me alone. That's how most children are raised in this country. Leave me alone. Here, read this, read this, read this, read this, do this, do this, do this. So divination. Number three, an observer of times. That is astrology. The idea that the courses of the stars or the sun and the moon has any bearing or impact on your life. I'm telling you, it does not. Halloween is based upon observation of times. Halloween is one of eight festivals that pagans or Wiccans celebrate. They call it Samhain. There is Yule. There is Imbolc, which is Groundhog Day, February 2nd. There is Beltane. By the way, Beltane is May 1st. Has anybody ever seen a maypole? Okay? A maypole represents the horned god, and the little girls represent the goddesses, and they're essentially practicing. When the girls dance around a maypole, they're essentially practicing whoredoms on May 1st. And school districts do this. They have kids go out and dance around a maypole. They don't want them learning Bible Christianity, and they can't have the Ten Commandments in the classroom, but let us teach you how to dance around a maypole, and don't tell them what it really means. But all of these dates, including Halloween, Samhain, are based upon the observation of times, and God said, don't do it. Let's see here. Observe times, or an enchanter, someone who repeats mantras or spells, as it were, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Gloria heard me say that one time. She said, is that someone that romances on your neck? Okay. A necromancer. No, it's not someone who gives hickeys. Okay. A necromancer actually practices witchcraft and sorcery and magic by means of the necros, those that are dead. See, witchcraft and divination and necromancy, these are religions based upon the dead. Halloween in many Latin American countries, Mexico, it's called, my Spanish is terrible, Dias de los Muertos. Yeah, Muertos, dead. It's the Day of the Dead. They don't call it Halloween in Mexico. They call it the Day of the Dead. You go to Mexico right now, there are emblems of skeletons everywhere. Because the idea is that the veil between our world and the dead world is very thin, and we might actually get to come in contact with dead spirits during this day. That's what they believe. That's what it's all about. Necromancy, for all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Remember, this was the Canaanites. The Canaanites were full of giants. This was the religions that they practiced, the practices that they did. These are the things that they did. And God said, don't do them. Stay away from them. God actually has a better way in his Bible for us to live. We don't need to be dependent upon, well, I can only receive divination on a certain time of day, or I can only get this if I do this or sun. And God said, you know what? I'll be your God from sunrise to sunset. I'll be your God when you're asleep. I'll hear your prayers. It's 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. I'll listen to you, and I'll love you, and I'll care for you, and I'll do for you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Doesn't matter what time of day it is, or what direction you're facing, or what words you say. That's what an enchanter is. Joel Osteen's an enchanter. He practices divination and enchantments by telling people that you have to proclaim certain words over areas of your life in order to get anything out of life. That is witchcraft. It's what it is. And God said, I have a better way. All you'd say, God, I need something. I don't even know what I need. God, I need help. God said, I'll give you something better than what you asked for. Amen? It's called Wicca, witchcraft, paganism. There's various names for it. And the themes around most of what's presented into the world, especially Taylor and Madeline and you girls, especially to young girls, it presents itself to you in a very alluring fashion. It wants you to think that your life is missing something and it can only be completed if you become a Wiccan, if you practice these things. You can get power. Young girls have feelings of inferiority. They have feelings of helplessness. They have feelings of all kinds of things, and witches move in and allure these girls and some of these boys into ideas, into things, telling them that you'll find fulfillment in this. And it's a lie. It won't. It's a trap is what it is. And the farther you get into it, the closer you get to the reality of what spirit is behind it. And it's a very, very scary thing. This is really interesting because Wiccans actually have a set of laws. Let me go back to this
previous thing here. I probably won't be able to do this right. There we go. That book there says The Laws of Wicca, Your Guide to Wiccan Laws. And this is interesting. We read in Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, Abomination of the Earth, 13 words. Wiccans actually have 13 laws. And that number 13 is a very special, sacred number to them. They practically worship that number. And so Wiccans have 13 recognized laws. Law number 6 is interesting. Wiccans agree we do not recognize any authoritarian hierarchy. Which basically means this. Nobody tells us what to do. We don't obey husbands. We don't obey countries. We don't obey rules in general. There is no authoritarian hierarchy. No one is over us in authority. Remember when we were 17, Jim? No? Remember when you said, I'm tired of everybody bossing me around? Remember those days, Keith? I can't wait to get out of this stupid house so I can have a mortgage and pay taxes. Yeah, and fix my own cars and buy my own tires. I can't wait. Yeah, can't wait to get out on my own. It is a natural, young people, listen to me, it's a natural thing to reach a certain age and just be busting to be out of there. Okay, it's natural. Because you're at an age where you're getting ready. All of us have rebelled at one time or another. We rebelled against mom and dad. We rebelled against school. We rebelled against the cop pulling us over. We rebelled, some worse than others. We rebelled against church. We just rebelled. This was what was really, and when I saw this, it just really interesting to me. Because it's interesting that one of their main tenets is nobody bosses us, nobody tells us to do. We don't recognize your authority over my life. And 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's interesting to me. Witchcraft is a religion of rebellion. And young people, some of them will get into it simply as a means of rebelling against their parents. A young man that I knew about back when I was in college, his name was Sean Sellers. He's dead now. He was executed. He, at 17 years old, was the youngest person ever put on death row in Oklahoma. Because he got into magic, he got into the occult, he got into Dungeons and Dragons, role-playing games. And we're talking about the 80s. We don't have the computer games that you guys have now. The computer games, the virtual reality games have replaced the board games that we all played back in the 70s and the 80s with much more realism. Okay? Back then we had to invent everything. Now it's just given to us with the graphics and everything. But he got into that so heavy. He had such a spirit of rebellion that he went into a convenience store, Circle K out there in Oklahoma, and shot the guy and killed him, the clerk there, just to see what it felt like. And then at some time later, he ends up killing his own mother and his stepdad. Cold blood. And he got saved in prison, and they still executed him. There's earthly consequences. I understand that. Okay? I believe he's in heaven right now. But his testimony was, young people, don't go there. I went there, and when the Bible tells you that witchcraft is a religion of rebellion, I lived it, I did it, and I paid the price for it. Okay? This Bible's right. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected what? The word of the Lord. And I want to tell you something. Any place where this Bible rules, witchcraft will not. In any form. That goes for a family, that goes for a nation, and that goes for a church. Any place, listen to me, any place where this word is absent, there will be a spirit of witchcraft in that church. It's not maybe, it's not I suspect it. I'm telling you, when this is gone, the devil will always fill the void. And it will be a spirit of whoredoms and a spirit of witchcraft in that church, in that denomination, in that college, in that seminary, in that ministry. You name it. That's where it's going to be. And it'll be in your life too. Okay? Teens and witchcraft. Up here on the upper left-hand side, the graphic says 16-year-old Wicca witch, Danielle Hewitt. She has, you can see in the background of her room, she has an altar to a goddess in her bedroom. This is her religion, okay? I saw, just kind of going through pictures and things like that, I saw at a Wiccan, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, you know, they place a wreath there, sometimes at whatever. Now the Wiccans have to have their time, and there was a witch and a military officer helping her with a wreath with a pentagram in it, adorning the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in this country. I'm telling you, when you take this out, that's what replaces it. Wicca is one of the recognized religions. Chaplains in the military must learn some of the fundamental tenets of Wicca and witchcraft and paganism, because soldiers, male and female, refer to themselves as Wiccans, and they have rights in the military to be ministered to by chaplains. Don't ask me to be a chaplain. I couldn't do it. Okay? I'd get a dishonorable discharge for saying, I'm not obeying that order. I got a higher authority that tells me no. Amen? But this is just the lure of it. Books by Silver Ravenwolf, Teen Witch. You can't really see the middle book there is called My Wicca Ways. Wicca Origins. This is just a sampling of the books. You go to the bookstore, go to the teen girl section, this is what you're going to find there. You're going to find love stories, and you're going to find witchcraft books. You go to the boys section, you won't find a whole lot of love stories. You will find a lot of books on vampires, dragons, wizardry, Star Wars, Harry Potter, things of that nature. Our children are being inundated. They're being overwhelmed with this because there is an absence and a void of Bible principles and Bible Christianity in their lives. This is what's taking over. There is not another more predominant religion in America than wizardry and witchcraft. There it is for boys. TV shows, Wizards of Waverly Place. That's Disney, by the way. Okay, the Walt Disney Corporation is nothing but the witchcraft promotion company of the world. They've been doing this for years, since the 50s, with Fantasia and things like that. They've been promoting this idea of wizardry and witchcraft. A lot of TV shows, cartoons. Name for me some cartoons that you think feature witchcraft or wizardry or magic of some kind. I don't watch much cartoons anymore. Yu-Gi-Oh. Pokemon. Barney, that's all about magic and imagination. Imagination, yeah, SpongeBob. Okay, they're not watching Bugs Bunny anymore. They're not watching that. They're watching indoctrinational tools. They're learning practices. And I'm talking about in cartoons, TV shows, books, movies, they're actually practicing witchcraft rituals in these things, and young people are learning them. So we have generations from the 70s, 80s, 90s, now into the 21st century of young people who have been fed a steady dose of sorcery, witchcraft, and magic. What are the top box office movies when they come out? Okay? There are no Westerns that come out that are the top grossing movies anymore. Too bad. Amen, Sterling? Okay? Even chick flicks, love stories. They don't gross. What we deal with gods, superheroes, and magic. Fantasy. Hollywood knows if it wants to make $500 million to spend $30 million or whatever, $100 million, on a movie featuring magic, witchcraft, sorcery, fantasy, or sci-fi magic of some kind, God, superheroes, and they'll make all the money, because that is the culture now that we live in. We live in a paganized culture in America. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Notice the Twilight. Vampires are who? They're dead people. They're dead people that actually practice an abomination that God strictly and specifically by letter forbids in the Scripture. Do not drink blood. Do not drink blood. They practice this. You say it's just fantasy. Why do we have to think that our children must fantasize about devils, werewolves, creatures, ghosts, and magicians? Why do we think that they have to fantasize about that in order to be well-rounded in life? It just doesn't make sense. And I remember seeing a couple that they'd been in and out of church. They had adopted a young girl, and she just walked around clutching her Twilight book. That was her book. And these girls, they see these movies, these Twilight movies, they are engrossed, because here we have, in the Twilight series, we actually have Mystery Babylon the Great. We have wizardry, sorcery, and witchcraft, occultism, and romance all bundled together in the same book. That's Mystery Babylon the Great. Sunday schools are teaching the Twilight series. Pastors are endorsing it all over the country. Something, it is sad. You know why? No Bible. No Bible. Proverbs 6, verse 16. Look at this. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Number one, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Now I want you to notice number 18. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. God said that it was an abomination to him, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. J.K. Rowling, who writes the Harry Potter series, her heart devised wicked imaginations. Did you know that she was nearly homeless, penniless, and broke? She would sit in coffee shops and places like that with her kids next by her, writing out that first Harry Potter book. She had nothing in life. And she sold her soul out to her wicked imagination. She's a multi-millionaire now. She has sold herself out for that. And her heart devised wicked imaginations. In the imaginary realms of the mind, this is, listen to me, this is where the devil loves to get into. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Have you ever fantasized over something? Everybody has, of one thing or another. And you and I both know that that is where the devil moves in to the thought processes of our mind. You and I would never, ever obey the command, commit adultery. We would never do it. But through the imaginary processes of our mind, we can get led into that. Have I made that clear? The same process goes on. Parents would never say to your children, I want you to turn out to be witches, warlocks, and magicians. I want you to learn to practice sorcery. I'd like for you to one day to bite the head off a bat and spit it out and drink its blood. And I want you to marry Ozzy Osbourne. You would never say that to your children. And yet, you allow them to watch movies, play video games, read books that are written in the occult realm, inspired by familiar spirits, and think that they're not going to be harmed by that. Because that's what I hear. Listen, you take that stuff too seriously, Pastor Mike. It's just imaginary stuff. Kids do that. Yeah, I agree. Kids imagine things. Kids have invisible friends. Okay? The kids' imagination just dreams up everything. We're not talking about harmless imaginations. We're talking about actually a multi-billion-dollar industry that has a goal in mind of taking your child and turning it into a practicing Satanist. And we act like there's no harm in it. There is. There is. Our country's not better now. Suicide. Thank you for bringing that up. I read today a young lady, 12 years old, got into witchcraft, got into it pretty heavy. And at her school, you know how cruel kids can be. Some of the quote-unquote Christian ones were singing loudly church hymns to her to mock her. Or at least that's what was told in the story. And she went out and killed herself. Now they want to blame the Christians for not being temperate of that. But I'm telling you, when you practice things like that, you are involved with a spirit that will stop at nothing to destroy you. That's what you're doing. It wasn't the Christian singing to her that made her kill herself. It was that spirit that she embraced, the horned God that she fell in love with and prayed to, drove her to her death. This is the reality of what we're dealing with. So, wicked imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These things are strongholds in your life. If you don't believe that, parents, go in your kid's room and take all that stuff away and find out what happens. Now, if your child doesn't give you grief, I'd keep looking. Number one. Or number two, get out on your knees and thank God that God's dealing with your kid. Okay? Take away their iPod. Take away their music. You want to see a spiritual stronghold, you go into your kid's stuff and start taking stuff away from them. Tell them they can't listen to this, they can't watch this, they can't do that, they can't take away their... But you just see what spirit is in control of your own children. You don't have as much control of your kid as you think you do. But these are strongholds. And then it says, casting down what? Imaginations. That's what these books, movies, video games, TV shows, comic books, cartoons, everything about it, that's what they are driving. Is that I used to read comic books when I was a kid. I was a geek for reading comic books. Did you know that there is a multi-billion dollar comic book industry in this country, and they have their own convention? I think it's in Las Vegas. It's called Comic-Con. And Comic-Con is one of the biggest conventions in the whole country of adults reading comic books. And most comic books deal with gods, wizardry, and witchcraft. Okay? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge. What is the knowledge of God? It's the Bible. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's your obligation as a Christian. Because that one, Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their what? They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Do you know what the word witchcraft and wizard and Wicca comes from? It comes from the same root as the word wise. The word wist, where Jesus said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Wist and witchcraft and wizard and Wicca and wise, they have the same root. So I want you to notice the King James Bible says they profess themselves to be what? Wise. Witches, wizards, and Wiccans. They profess themselves to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image. That's the imagination. That's what goes on in your fantasy life. Made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Remember, they worship the horned God. He's a beast. That's who they practice to. That's who they pray to. That's where their power comes from. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old. This stood out. I've read this passage, I don't know how many times. And it finally occurred to me how old Manasseh was when he began to reign. And I want you to notice in verse 6, he caused his children to pass through the fire.
He observed times, used enchantments, used witchcraft, dealt with familiar spirit and with wizards, and he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him in anger. And that religion and his practices caused him. Manasseh went further than any king in Israel had ever gone. Manasseh actually had an idol built, and he took the idol and had it put in the most holy place in the temple. That's saying, hey, God.
Right.
That's what he did. And God got him over it. What led him to going that far? Wizardry, witchcraft, divination, enchanters. How young was he when he started doing this? 12 years old. If you have already started, you're in danger. If you've already started with the wizardry, the witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, the occultism, cartomancy, if you've already started this stuff, I'm telling you, you're in danger. 12 years old, and it goes from innocence to utter abomination in a lifetime. Young people, please be careful. Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who hath done what? Who hath bewitched you? And there's some things I left out. The familiar spirit, the witch of Endor. She raised familiar spirits. And this is what's really interesting. The TV show Bewitched, how many of you remember that show? You remember that show, Jimmy?
Yeah.
What was Samantha's mother's name?
Endora.
You know where they got her name from? King James Bible. They got her name from the Witch of Endor. Star Wars, George Lucas, episode 6. They end up on the moon of what planet? Or what was the moon was called what? Where the little furry creatures, the Ewoks. Where did they live? Endor. Where did George Lucas get that name? Got it from the scriptures. It's witchcraft, sorcery, magic. It's dressed up. It looks nice. It looks great. Oh, I would give anything to be a Jedi Knight, wouldn't you? Your sword's laying over there. Huh? Yeah. It looks cool. But it's deadly. Manasseh went from a 12-year-old boy to a practicing warlock to murdering his own baby children to the fire god Molech to spitting in God's face by putting an idol in his holy house. And God got him. So, young people, if it's already started in your life, Ouija boards, thank you. If it's already started in your life, ask God to help. Because His power is the only power that can stop the growth of some very bad things in your young life. That's the only way it can work. Okay? You played a Ouija board? I don't need to know that about you, Carmichael. Huh? Yeah. Before we close, and I know I kind of kept you a little late, but is there any questions tonight from any of these young people about anything? Something that's questionable, something you're not sure about, if it's okay, can I do this or what? Any questions? How many of you know somebody at school that actually says that they're a Wiccan or practicing witch? Oh, they're there. Okay. Okay.
Last I heard, they're separated, split up. That's why they're split up, is because that's what she wants to give people.
Hmm. So we went around telling the guys at work, my wife's a real witch. He was right, right? She really was.
I've noticed, like, in the past couple of years, the increase on just not even movies, just television shows.
Television shows.
On ghost hunting and these guys that go into homes and try to...
Oh, yeah. The paranormal.
Yeah.
The paranormal, the supernatural, that's big. That's big stuff. That has captured the imagination of an entire nation.
Now, does that tie in, I guess, with this too?
They're familiar spirits.
Okay.
The ghost chasers are actually looking for what they think are the departed spirits of people that are hanging around for whatever reason. Those are familiar spirits. Those are masquerading devils acting like people that used to live. But you and I know, according to Scripture, when the rich man died, he didn't go, ooh. That's not what he did. He was in hell, lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That's what happens when you die. Don't fall for that stuff. Anybody else? Any young people got a question about anything? Yes. If I'd have known that, I'd have gave you a whipping for that. Oh, I knew it? Oh, okay. I don't remember that. What was the name of the book?
I really don't remember, but it was, he had a dream about,
okay. Thank you for bringing that up, because I can tell you that even in the Christian bookstore, there is a myriad of books, novels being written for young teen Christians and boy and girl Christians, quote unquote, that are occult based. Okay? It's moved in. She's taken over. Why? Because they don't have no more Bibles. They don't have any King James Bibles at these bookstores anymore. You have to custom order them in.
What about charms?
Charms? Listen, you don't need it. There's no such thing as that. I don't wear charms. Charms falls under that category.
Yeah.
It's the idea that an object has magic or brings power to you or anything like that. Amulets. Mm-hmm. Be careful of amulets. Don't wear a pentagram. Okay? Don't wear a pentagram. Don't do that. Things like that. Some of that stuff's pretty easy, but just stay away from this stuff. All right? Yes, Rose. Yeah. Okay. That would be a good idea, and I appreciate that, and I'll work that up sometime. Okay. They're all around us. I don't encourage you to get my depth of knowledge on it. Okay, I can look at some things I don't deal with. But I know the signs. I know the warning signs. That's the job of a watchman. I can recognize things. And, any of you parents, if you come to me and say, what about this? Maybe you don't want to embarrass your kid. But if you have a question about it, just bring it to me and I'll tell you what I think. All right? Let's go before the Lord tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we recognize, God, there are all kinds of strongholds in people's lives. And Lord, it's not just in our young people. Lord, us adults, God, there are satanic strongholds that if we give the devil an inch, he will take a mile in our lives. And we know that. And Father, we just need daily, constant help. Lord, one prayer tonight, or just one idea saying, I don't want this anymore, God, is not going to stop the devil for our lifetime. He's going to keep coming back. He's going to keep coming back. He wants to try to have strongholds and power in our life. He wants to do it through music. He wants to do it through TV shows. He wants to do it through books, entertainments. He wants to do it through friends and fellowship. And he wants to do it, God, through the things that infiltrate our minds. Our mind, dear God, is the battleground. And Lord, it's not just in the young people here tonight. It's in us adults too. And Father, I'm asking, dear God, as pastor, and Lord, just as a Christian and myself, God, Lord, that you'd give me strength and help me, dear God. Help me, Lord Father, to fight off battles in my own life and fight them off in my family. Fight them off, dear God, in my marriage. Fight them off, dear God, in my church. And Lord, for those who are watching us tonight or those listening tonight, Lord, the devil's real. He doesn't care if anybody believes in him or not. He's real. And God, he is our enemy. He's our adversary. And Lord, help us to withstand him. Help us to fight him. Help us to make people free from him. Because God, I have found, Lord, that you have a better way. And Lord, for any of these young people here tonight, Lord, that it's such a lure to them. God, would you give them victory tonight? Would you show them, God, this, Lord, just give them one sign tonight. Give them one sign tonight, Lord, that you're more powerful than anything, Lord, that they've thought about in their life. Show the, prove yourself, Lord. Show yourself strong on their behalf. Lord, teach them, help them to follow you. Thank you, dear God, for your love and your mercy to us. Thank you, dear God, for this gathering tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and the devil gets nothing from us tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Who said this was the devil's day? Amen? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now.
And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His word, and God has never broken His word, God promised in His word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.